the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside, the summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you, it's you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer in the meadow, or when the valleys hush and quiet with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, I'll always remember that song from the movie, the great movie, Memphis Belle. If you've ever seen it, and you guys, if some of you guys have seen it, that war movie, it was great when they played this song. We'll be back in a moment. Your phone calls with our special guest tonight, Randall Fitzgerald, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Randall Fitzgerald, our guest. Your phone calls, the negative energy that some people put out that causes them to lose their luck. How do these people win the lottery and things like that in the first place, Randall?
Well, probability theory is at work. You know, there's that entire level of the law of averages and probability theory in which luck operates as well. The transcendent luck, the luck I'm talking about, the intuitive luck, is more about changing patterns of behavior first. You know, our attitudes and behaviors, you know, as we talked about earlier, so often short-circuit the entire energetic of luck. And once we're in alignment with our true nature, I mean, some of us spend our entire lives trying to find what our true nature happens to be, then I tend to find that people have a more positive charge about them. I mean, we can call it charisma. There are a lot of different ways to phrase it, but it's a sense that this particular person is someone that I desire to be around, and it's something just, it's one of those incandescent qualities that they seem to have.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
George, it's Doug calling from New York.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Great, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Quick question. I don't have necessarily a story to tell, but I was curious to know whether or not Mr. Fitzgerald's ever done any research to establish a direct link between risk and intuition.
Not research per se. I did a lot of study in casinos watching people on luck streaks. And then I would talk to people after they had won a lot of money, going from one slot machine to another. I mean, the risk involved in slot machines is, of course, much higher than in card games. There's some skill involved in card games. But when you're dealing with slot machines, you're dealing with random number generators, and you're, for the most part, at the mercy of the law of averages. So then I would interview people, what were you feeling when you were going from one machine to another? Why did you choose those particular machines for you to have these jackpots one after the other? And that's what I was primarily interested in the connection between risk and intuition.
Right. I was more curious, not so much having to do with gambling, but I mean, just generally, when you're dealing with people in business, risk takers in general, are they? Do you find that the people who are in tune with their intuition tend to be risk takers?
I certainly find that that's a pattern. Most of the successful people that I've interviewed and encountered who talk in terms of intuition have also been risk takers. I mean, we can talk in terms of risk from the standpoint of what are they really putting on the line? Are they putting their entire fortune in a particular business enterprise and it hangs by a thread? And, you know, that would be a classic risk. But for some people, it's risking their reputation and even risking their relationships with family. I mean, the risk takes many different forms.
Right.
Okay, thanks for your call, Doug.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Heather from Lexington, Kentucky.
Hello, Heather.
You asked for stories of people who didn't listen to their intuition.
Are you one of them?
Yes.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Okay, this is kind of a bad story.
Okay.
About 7 years ago, I'm 26, I was laying in bed and a flash of, like, guns just came in front of me. And I had this feeling that something bad was going to happen to me and I might even die. And I've had feelings like that before, like usually 2 weeks before something happens, anything that's going to affect me. About 2 weeks later, a guy I'd been friends with, I didn't know him very well, had called up and said, hey, do you want to come hang out? And I was like, sure. I didn't have a car, so he said, I'm going to have my friend pick you up. I did not know his friend.
Mm.
When I met his friend, also an interesting thing, I saw black stuff around him.
Okay.
The only way I can really explain it is like if you look at a light bulb or something and you see those little dots.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what it looked like, but I wasn't looking at a light bulb.
Okay.
And so I go off with this guy, even though I knew that I shouldn't because the feeling came back.
You knew better.
I knew better. And basically, I got raped and almost murdered.
Ugh.
He had a gun. I escaped, and nothing ever happened to him.
You're not in
jail.
But
I should have listened to my instincts.
Randall, she's right, but they don't.
Yes, well, I would ask, how has your intuition improved since that incident?
Well, I still always have the feelings before something happens, good or bad, but I have more visions and more dreams that come true.
Mm-hmm. Has it come true in a positive way for you in some respects?
Yeah, it does come true for positive things, too. I think the reason that a lot of the bad things came true is because I was looking at, like, a protection thing. You know, I'm making sure nothing bad's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a truly traumatic story and experience to have. And, you know, it ranks right up there in the annals of stories I've heard about trusting one's intuition.
Sometimes you learn your lessons the hard way.
Indeed.
Are you okay now, Heather?
Oh, yes, I'm fine.
Okay, good. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having the courage to share the story, too. Not a lot of people would do that, Randall.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories out there of intuition that was ignored, and to our peril. I've spoken with law enforcement officers who have ignored their intuition and learned the hard way. And they survived, but they never forgot. And
No. Boy,
have they trusted their intuition since.
East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, this is Daniel from Lansing.
Hi, Daniel.
Michigan.
Welcome. Sure.
Yeah, I just got a call. It's funny. This is one of the first times I've ever tried to call, and you were playing the song Danny Boy.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty precog because I just got straight through really
quickly. Well, we played it for you. We've been waiting for you to call us.
That's funny. I wish such things were true. But also, last night you had the guest on talking about, you know, he had visions, and he had spoke about a vision about Florida being destroyed by a nuclear weapon.
The Father Wingate.
I also saw that just days ago. I was awake in my living room, and it just flashed in front of me because my parents lived there, and I saw my parents' house destroyed, and I was, like, walking through it third person. It's very odd.
It's there. Go ahead.
Also, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
Also, I wanted to say that the thing with your intuition and about trusting it, if you trust it, you don't understand or really get to see that it helped you, because if you feel something and you go with it, you don't really see the bad outcome as much, so you don't really notice that it's actually helping you. And when you recognize things, it kind of potentially can change the future because it gives you a different perspective on it.
I think you're right, especially when it comes to traumatic events. You know, when we're jolted into an awareness of the importance of intuition, especially the importance of trusting it, then those traumatic incidents tend to have much more of an impact than having our intuition validated again and again to where we take it for granted.
Right, correct. And I'll just one quick note I wanted to say about the lady who was on life support. She, in any other country, I pretty much believe that she wouldn't be on life support. You know, it wouldn't be a decision about who make the choice. She would already be dead. You know?
Well, let's hope that things work out in that particular case as well. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Two things. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I had a dream for about 2 years that I was going to win Megabucks. Well, my husband teased me about it, and I always said it was a burgundy wall, and there was only two machines next to it. And I always know the number 1111 when it comes up on clocks, or I just know intuitively, if someone asks me, I'll know if it's 1111. It's the strangest thing.
Yeah, that happens to me, too.
And so I thought that was the date that I was supposed to play Megabucks. But everybody's like, well, there are so many casinos in Vegas. How do you know? And I said, well, the walls are burgundy, and there's two machines. Well, there's one little hole in the wall place. I won't name it, but there's one little hole in the wall place. And I walked in, and I knew right away that it was it. So on November 11th of last year, I went and played it. Nothing. I didn't hit anything. So my husband said, well, let's try the next machine. So I went about $200. I cashed out. I tried another 50 in the other one. Nothing. And I knew I wasn't going to win, and I walked away.
And that was it?
That was it. But for some reason, ever since I was a little girl, I've maybe 6 years old, I've known when it's going to be 11-11, and that just freaks me out, but I still, to this day, know. So, I don't know if that means anything or not.
Of course it does. Do you, Randall, how many people, thanks for the call, how many people, after it happens and they don't read the intuition, go, I should have done this? You know, they just, you know, they kick themselves.
I think all of us have had that experience at one time or another. I know I have. I've had that experience in numerous ways. And yet it was so easy for me to overlook the experience, to rationalize it away, put my mental process to work on it and say, well, if this had happened, then this wouldn't have happened. You know, and you're just looking at all the angles. Well, that's what the mind does. The mind has a need to control, and intuition is a threat to our rational process. And we need to bring into balance some sort of alignment our intuition and our left brain mental rational process. And the people that are able to create that balance, using one to supplement the other, I think are the ones that generally are the most successful and the happiest.
You're probably right. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi.
I had a couple of stories to relate. I've had a gamut of things happen in my life regarding intuition and one thing that I've never heard anybody ever mention when they talk about deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of a negative experience. I was in my teens, and I had that feeling that I'm supposed to turn to my left when I was talking to somebody and they're going to say whatever that they were going to say.
You just knew it was going to happen.
I felt it coming on. Instead, something in my mind said, don't look that way, stand up and walk the other way. So I did it, and I was smiling. Well, I wound up tripping and spraining a toe when they had to bandage it up and everything. And I said, I'll never fight that urge. And the positive thing that happened to me once was, this was when I was experiencing a cold, a terrible flu, and I felt the need to get fresh orange juice from a grocery store down the street from where I'm at. I said, I also know another place that was about 10 miles away that also had it. And I said, I'm tired of going to the same grocery store down the street, so I just took a ride. While I'm driving, I was humming to myself and making up a song, because I was in this, my head was just...
You zoned out when you said that. Yeah.
I was singing, if I had $1 million, you know what I'd do, and I'm rhyming things with it, and I don't know why I even came up thinking that.
You were delirious from the fever,
exactly,
that's why.
Exactly. Well, I go to the grocery store 10 miles away, go in there for the orange juice. They said, we're sorry, we don't have any, we're all out. Well, I said, okay, I'm going back to the one that was just down the road from me. I went to that store, bought the orange juice, they had it, was in line, bought a lottery ticket, and it was a $25,000 winner.
No way!
Congratulations.
I love it.
So, I mean, it can happen.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. See, it does happen, Randall. It does.
In fact, I was thinking as he was telling the story that sometimes intuitive luck is a cosmic trickster. I've had the experience of intuiting luck opportunities only to see the reward reaped by someone else,
mm-hmm.
you know, right in front of me. And then I would ask myself, well, this obviously wasn't intended for me, but it was intended for me to witness this. Now, why? And sometimes it's all about attaching meaning, of course. And for me, I've discovered that it's about an affirmation. The more I have my intuition affirmed, even if I don't directly benefit from it, the more trust and faith I put in it.
How would you feel, honestly, if you're playing slots and you don't win, and then you get up and some lady sits down, and the minute she puts a coin in, she wins big bucks?
I can tell you a quick story in that regard. A friend of mine who contacted me just a couple of weeks ago by the name of Steve, he was playing at a mega bucks slot machine back, a month or so ago at an Indian casino near Lake Tahoe. And he was there with his parents, and he was sitting at one of these machines that had a $360,000 jackpot.
Wow.
He had this strong feeling that he was going to win on this machine. And he kept sitting there and playing, and he'd win small amounts, and he needed to go to the restroom. And he was looking around. His parents weren't anywhere around.
Nobody to guard that seat.
And he couldn't find anyone to guard the seat. So he goes to the restroom. This is a true story. Goes to the restroom. He's coming out of the restroom. He sees a woman sitting down at the machine he's been playing.
No.
He runs across the casino. She puts in these three tokens, presses the button, and wins $360,000 in front of him. He drops to his knees there at her feet, and she looks over at him, and she's very excited, of course, near a heart attack. She looks at him, she says, oh, I'm so sorry. I saw you playing this machine. I saw you get up. I'm so sorry. She ends up giving him a few thousand dollars.
That was nice of her to do that.
It was. It was very nice. She felt guilty in the moment, as in, you know, she had taken away his opportunity, but, you know, she rewarded him.
You know what? That woman's going to have more good luck because of just that gesture.
Yes, generosity in karmic terms tends to bring more of the same.
Because, you know, really, she was under no obligation to do that.
No, she wasn't.
You know, she just felt that, you know, there's this poor guy who's rushing back. That is probably one of the saddest good luck stories I've ever heard.
$360,000, yes.
Oh, my God. I wonder what life was like for him that night.
Well, he told me that he knew he should trust his intuition. you know, he and I have had many conversations, so he knows that intuitive luck is something that we have to safeguard, and we have to believe in. And so, but he had to go to the restroom, so there was a balancing act there, you know, and he took the risk, and he lost big time.
I want to ask you about, when we come back, an episode that happened to me in Las Vegas with my producer, Tom, where we were at a speaking engagement a year ago. I'll do that when I come back, Randall, and we'll take the rest of your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.
Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, of course, we'll have our Friday and the Saturday night open lines, but also the first hour at the recommendation of former astronaut Edgar Mitchell, Young Adam. He is a healer, will be our guest. This young man is just unbelievable. We'll be back in a moment, though, with Randall Fitzgerald and the rest of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM, if you're feeling lucky. And welcome back. It's our final segment with our guest, Randall Fitzgerald. Your phone calls. Randall, I have to tell you this Vegas story. About a year ago, my producer Tom and I went to Las Vegas. I had a speaking engagement there. And after the speaking engagement, we sat down at a blackjack table. And this was a strange one because I'd never seen one like this before, where not only do you play blackjack, but there's a little circle there where you can put a dollar down. And for some reason, if you get a blackjack when the dollar is down, you get to spin the wheel, and then you win based on how much you put in that circle times whatever the wheel said. Okay,
I don't know this one.
If it said 10 and you had a dollar, you won an extra $10. If it said 100, you won an extra $100.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a dollar down there, and I got a blackjack. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sitting at the table with Tom, who's high energy, positive energy, and then there's a guy sitting next to us, very negative about everything, right? So I've won, and I say to Tom and this other guy, I said, okay, here's the deal. This is how it works. You can let your mind control things. Let's concentrate on that 1,000. It was the only one with 1,000.
Uh-huh.
And they spin it like a huge wheel. And I said, just concentrate that the click will just stop at 1,000. We win $1,000. I'll split it with the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom said, okay, great, let's do it. We can do it. And I'm saying, yeah, we can do it. And then this other guy, he's thinking negatively the whole time. He just wasn't excited about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they spin the wheel, and it starts clicking. You know how slowly that thing clicks. It goes click. It goes by the 1, and then there's a 15, and there's a 20, and there's a 30, and it's going click, click, click. And Tom and I are looking at each other because it's getting pretty darn close to the 1,000. And then we're looking at Mr. Energy Zapper, who thinks the whole thing isn't going to work anyway. I kid you not, Randall, this thing stops one click away from the 1,000. One click away. And Tom and I both look at each other, and we blame the guy in the middle because with his negative energy, I think it was the reason why it just didn't click over.
He could have been in that movie, The Cooler.
Yep, absolutely. He cost us some big bucks there.
Oh, my.
Let's go to the phones. You ready? Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Good evening, George and Randall.
Hi.
Good evening.
This is Mike in Cleveland calling.
Sure, Mike. Go ahead.
George, just since you asked for it, I've had 4 incidents where approaching intersections, when I had the green light and I like to go fast, something told me intuitively to slow down. One time I was on the marginal next to the highway, I was going near 40 miles an hour, and something just told me to slow down for that green light, and it's 5 in the morning, and sure enough, a car came speeding through the red light.
Would have been no you calling Coast to Coast tonight, that's for sure.
90-degree, 40-mile-an-hour head-on crash, I don't think so.
No.
And I just wanted to ask you, Randall, have you heard of the movie Intacto with Max von Sydow, the guy who played The Exorcist?
Yes, I have. It's a movie about luck, a Spanish film.
It was about individuals betting on personal luck, and I just wanted to throw out an example to intrigue people. One of the bets was betting on running through the woods, and everyone had blindfolds on, and the person who came out at the end was the person who won, and there was also a metaphysical angle to the end that I won't reveal, but it was a very intriguing movie, and it would be interesting.
Yes, yes, I wholeheartedly agree. Could I ask you a quick question? When you've had the experiences that you described of near misses and intersections, how did the feeling of intuition come up for you? Was there any symptom in your body that you could identify, or was it just a sense of knowing?
What really happened was it was like all of a sudden I found myself having a thought, and immediately I wanted to analyze it with my left hemisphere by saying, oh, that's just corny. You know, but something all of a sudden said, you know what, why don't we just be corny this time and see what happens? And that time at 5 in the morning, that just totally blew me away. The other two times, one was at the same intersection. The other two times were they were brick buildings, and you couldn't see the traffic coming from the one way, and both times they were police cars because, again, it was like 4:30 in the morning, and they think they're the only ones out on the road. So since I'm a late-night person because I'm calling, I'm very weary now of green lights at intersections very late at night in the inner city where I live.
Oh, understandably.
Okay, great. Thanks for your call, Mike. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi, this is from Bermuda.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have been a long fan of the show, and I've actually been very intuitive my whole life and have researched it, actually, in the past couple of years, like myself, or like you. And I was wondering what your take on instincts versus numbers would be. I've kind of, you know, heard some of the callers mention this, but I was wondering if you could possibly connect it with, like, the numbers lady or anybody else.
Give us a little bit more to go on here. What do you mean?
I'm thinking, like, specifically for me, it's a lucky number 7. And for the ladies mentioned 11.
Okay. 11. All right, very good.
Whether the numbers have, internal meaning or whether they could actually affect the instincts or which one is kind of more basic or more real. You know, as in, like, which one's, I would say, which one's subjective and which one isn't.
All right, take it away, Randall.
I would begin with where one's interest happens to be. I'm in connection with math, for instance, and numbers. I've never been good at that. I've never had an interest in it, so I don't really have a connection or an affinity to particular numbers. I don't dream about numbers per se. I mostly dream symbols, but I've interviewed people, and I'm thinking of a woman named Janine in Florida who I interviewed, who had an extraordinary 33-day win streak in the Florida lottery of winning the cash 3 and the play 4 lottery drawings, winning tens of thousands of dollars. And it's because she dreams in numbers. She has since she was a child. She just has a proclivity toward math and an affinity for numbers, and it just comes naturally to her. So I would ask you, have you always had a connection or an affinity to numbers since you were a child?
Actually, this just started about a year or two ago. I just kind of got, I read some things on the symbolism in numbers and then kind of explored it after that. So no, it just kind of happened recently.
Oh.
Okay, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Randall, what was it during 9/11? The New York lottery was 9/11.
Yes.
Something like that. Remember that?
Yes. And then when Mickey Mantle had his number 7 retired at Yankee Stadium, the drawing that day was 777 in the New York State lottery pick 3. So, yes, we see that sort of synchronicity occur again and again.
How does that happen? It's not chance.
Well, here we get into the, you know, the whole idea of global consciousness.
Absolutely. And they have the ability, we have the ability, I think, to alter this thing. We change things.
Yeah. The Global Consciousness Project, which you're well familiar with at Princeton University, has been attempting to measure that in connection with world events and these eggs, as in random number generators scattered all over the planet. Well, interestingly enough, the lotteries quite often are producing numbers based on random number generators. The same process that's at work in the Global Consciousness Project in how it is picking up these patterns that are apparently connected to group consciousness. And then in slot machines, there are random number generators that are generating the numbers that create the symbols.
Same thing.
See.
That's
yes,
right.
The
they're computer processed, but same thing. Yep.
And it is my contention, based on the research I've done, that some people can intuit the output, favorable output, in random number generators in slot machines.
All right. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Diane and Linwood.
Hi, Diane.
Yeah, and the numbers 2, 5, and 3 for that gentleman. Those are the numbers that come up the most. But before I ask both of you this question for your statement on it, I don't know if you've ever heard, I read once about intuition, that as we gain strength and stamina, our esteem and our intuitive abilities just emerge naturally. I read that once and I never forgot it.
That could be.
Yeah, when you think about it, it goes around everything Randall has said. Well, my mom was told she was born under a lucky star, and she was a number 2, and she's a Capricorn, and indeed, all of her life, she gambled, and she would win, and she always shared her winnings with her kids, always. Now, George, you and I are both Geminis, and we're both born on the 4th.
Yep.
And this person told me to never, ever gamble for money that I would... unfortunately, the monies I would attain in my life would be through the misfortune of others, and it's held true. I broke it once and went against it, and I lost a huge fortune.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what Randall would say about you being Geminis, because Geminis are told they should not gamble.
Now you tell me.
Other areas.
I didn't know this. I must confess, I haven't really explored astrology in connection with luck and intuition, but it certainly sounds intriguing.
Yes, it is.
No, I think you're right, because there've been times in my life, and I'm not talking about gambling in cards or casinos, but gambling and things in life.
Mm-hmm.
There've been times I've done that and it's been a disaster, and then there've been times that I've had things done methodically and, you know, are a little more programmed, and they've been huge successes.
Well, we get ours from giving and receiving.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that. Next up, Wildcard Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, hi, Mr. Nuri.
Hi.
I listened to you in Baja, and I came to the United States, and I'm so lucky to
welcome,
get to talk to you.
Welcome to be here.
I wanted to tell you that I thought I was the only one who don't like clowns. I think they're sinister and have a dark side on them.
I don't like clowns. I don't like clowns either.
And I want to ask Mr. Fitzgerald that how does he reconcile the popular belief that if you think something bad is going to happen, you bring it into yourself? Because I have bad premonitions, and it happens. And then people tell me, well, it's because you think about him. And if you think about something bad happening to you, you're going to bring it into yourself. How does he reconcile that? I have never won anything in cards or casino because I never saw me winning. Am I bringing it to me because thinking that way?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't necessarily reconcile it in this sense. I think perhaps sometimes we do bring to us, in sort of a self-fulfilling way, what our negativity, and sometimes it's an unconscious negativity, sometimes we're not consciously aware of it, but sometimes like magnets we do attract to us like-minded people, or, you know, like attracts like. But at the same time, I feel like we're all capable of breaking those patterns. We aren't held hostage by those patterns. When we have premonitions that are negative, and they come true, then that affirms our intuition. If we continue to have premonitions that don't come true, that are negative, then we have to begin to look at our own thought process. We have to begin to sort of psychologically get a handle on what it is that we're really generating that's a part of us, that's part of our unconscious.
Okay, thank you for that phone call. Time for a few more, so let's squeeze in as many as we can. Let's pick it up by going to our first-time caller. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead. And where are you calling from?
This is Steve from Cool, California.
Cool, California.
Yeah, that's up by Auburn, Placerville.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
I have precognitive dreams about horse racing.
Ah, one of those. Oh, those are interesting.
Yeah, I guess the weirdest one I've ever had was my first trip to Del Mar, and I went to sleep with the racing form under my pillow, and I had this dream that I was at Del Mar, and I'd been losing all day in my dream. It was the last race, the ninth race, and I dreamed that I boxed the exacta 6-7-9. And I had $7 left, and I put that to win on a 6. And so I turned around, and the horses were running down to the finish line, and the 6, the 7, and the 9 were all right there at the wire. So I turned around, I went to the window, and I was going to cash. And when the guy opened the window, I pushed my tickets to him, and he started paying me. And then he paid me again. And I said, well, why did you pay me the second time? And he said, because the 6 won. It was 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, okay. And I took all that money in my dream. I woke up. The next day I went to the track, and I lost all day long until the ninth race. But during that day, there were 5 races that were won by the 6, including a horse that paid 100, another horse that paid 50. And by the time I got to the ninth race, I had $7. So I was going to bet the 1-7, but I decided, no, I'm going to bet a 6-7, just like my dream. So I bet 6-7, $2 to win on the 6, and it was 1-7, 1-7, 1-7 all the way around the track till the deep stretch, then the 1 died. And there was this little blur, a little black blur that came flying. It was the 6. And he nailed the 7 right at the wire.
I love it.
6-7. I cashed about $150 exacta and $2 to win on the 6.
I love it. Great story.
It was strange.
Those are neat.
Yeah, those are wonderful stories. In my book, Lucky You, I have a chapter on horse race dreams and horse race dreamers. Could I ask you a quick question? Did you, in growing up, have an affinity for horses? Is there something about horses that you've always been attracted to?
My brother took me to the racetrack when I was about 13.
This is what I find again and again in horse race dreamers. It gets back to this theme that whatever gives us the biggest adrenaline charge in life is what most often finds expression in intuition.
That is it. See, that I didn't know. I did not know that at all. Next up, East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes,
hi.
Welcome.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Hi there.
This is Bob. I'm calling from northern Michigan, Charlevoix, Michigan.
Oh, sure. No, well, go ahead, Bob. You got about a minute.
I'm listening to you on AM 580. Intuition. 1983, I was hitchhiking from Muskegon to Traverse City. By Ludington, there's I had to make a choice in Scottsville to go either north end 31 or across 55 to 37 and on up. So I went the 31 way, and I was hitchhiking, and this car kind of was maybe a tight bearing or something went by me, and they kind of slowed, and then they continued up, and I could see quite a ways somewhere around Manistee that they went to maybe a bar up ahead and parked in the parking lot. A red flag went up in my mind, and I kind of thought, you know, they might be talking about me. And I brushed it off. Nah, they're not talking about me. And then the car pulled out of the parking lot, and I'm still, you know, hitchhiking and walking that way, a mile away or so, and the car went past me and then went over a hill. And my intuition told me that that car is going to come back for me, and it's not good, so you better hide. So what I did is and it sounded crazy. I went off the road.
I got to go, Bob.
Okay.
Sounds like he's okay. Whatever his intuition told him, Randall, he did the right thing, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Hey, thank you so much. Website, drluck.com. We got to do this again.
I loved it. George, it was great being with you.
Take care of yourself. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasor, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.